Good evening, James McKenney here with my Science Hour for November 19th, 2020. Many, many things happening. First of all, there's not a lot going on in science today. The SpaceX launched with their Crew Dragon spacecraft. Four NASA astronauts went to the International Space Station. We don't know what they're doing. Nobody reports what they're doing. That's the big event in space this week. Not a lot going on, not a lot to report. And, you know, I have years and decades of lectures on my science work, etc. And so if I guarantee you there's nobody out there who has consumed all of the material that I have available, my books, my lectures, the educational material, etc. So I have vast amounts of material that talk about the scientific issues that are going on, my scientific work, which is completely 100% right on from end to end, top to bottom. So my point, however, is that I had a listener write in and say, you know, my shows are not about science anymore. And that's why I have two shows. I have the paid cast, and then I have this one where this paid cast goes into deep scientific topics, etc. And then that has been converted into my education program, which is all of that's on my webpage. But here's the issue. We are living in some times right now which are historical in nature. The world is being sucked down a sewer hole created, and it's very important for people out there to understand the level where this has gotten. And this has to do with the coronavirus stuff. It has to do with the election fraud, which is now, thank goodness, I felt like the Lone Ranger in 2016 when I put out my voter fraud cheating paper. And I claimed that Hillary Clinton got 17 million illegal votes. Everybody thought I was crazy. Back in the early 1980s, when I came out and I said, hey, NASA is fraudulent. They're putting out fraudulent information. It's corrupt to the bone. And everybody's, oh, no, NASA is golden. They couldn't. Everything they do is perfect. Now everybody knows that NASA is a big lying, cheating agency. So when I come out and say something, a lot of times I'm sticking my neck out, but it's because I know what's going on. And so now the effort after the fact has come in to try and analyze all the cheating that's going on, the Dominion software, the Dominion vote counting machines, the Hammer software that will change, you know, put in and installed by the CIA that will actually change votes fly as they're being transmitted from lower precinct levels up to intermediate and state levels and federal levels. This can intercept the vote counts and change them. So just absolute corruption at the highest level, but massive vote. You know, people go, oh, like Wolf Blitzer. I saw him interviewing Barr, Attorney General Barr, on television. And Blitzer goes, oh, there's no evidence for any kind of voter fraud or anything. Well, those guys work for the CIA. Wolf Blitzer is a CIA employee. You know, bringing you the news? No, they're creating the news. So anyway, we are in a historical time right now. And also, when I talk about products that I sell on my webpage, which I'm not going to do tonight, the only thing I'm going to say is these are things that you need. This is not like buying a new coffee maker. It's not an optional thing. It's something you actually need because something called the Great Debt Reset is going on right now. And the next major event is going to be taking down the electric grid, which is going to affect everything. Right now, this past weekend, there were 25,000 automobiles in a line in Texas, people waiting to get food at food banks. Well, you know, this was all fresh food, like lettuce and cabbage and potatoes and things that would go bad This is not stored food, of dried food of some kind. This is fresh food. So somebody saw this coming. Somebody had to have all of this food ready because they knew that the people in that region would be out of food, that they didn't have any money. They couldn't go to the grocery store, so they're heading up to the food shelf to get something so they can eat basic things. This is part of the communist takeover. And when I wrote my article, this was back in June, I wrote an article called Holodomor. And that is a Russian, that's a Ukrainian term for the Great Starvation that occurred in 1930 to 33 in the Ukraine, where the communist Russians came in and took over, literally, and took over that region. And one of their main ways of controlling the communist insurrection in the Ukraine, which was a democratic, very prosperous country, that was the breadbasket of Eastern Europe, was the Ukraine. That's where all the food was grown. The peasants were very successful at growing food. How could these people starve? Well, the Russians came in and implemented, they took away the land, moved the peasants off the land, and installed communal farms. And that's what they're doing in the United States. They're destroying the food chain to destroy the farms, so the farmers cannot pay their mortgages, kicking them off their farms, and then they'll go, oh, doggone, we got to bring in the good government agencies to run these big farms, collective farming. That's what's going on in the United States right now, collectivization of food, and then the politicization of food. So when I talk about things that I sell in my website, the grow towers, the water filtration, the wing generators, and the smaller multi-wing generators for electricity, I'm sorry, folks, but this is stuff you need. This is not optional. So anyway, just go to my website. I'll give you the link at the end of the show. But these are events that are going on right now. So just let me summarize the things that have happened this week. Let's go down to the Caribbean. Hurricane Eta, E-T-A-Eta, I guess, November 2nd, rolled through the Caribbean across what is known as San Andreas Island, and coming into Nicaragua, Honduras, and that region of Central America. And now there's a Hurricane Iota that's coming in and doing the same thing, absolutely devastating those areas where, I've had people ask me, are these controlled storms? And I cannot tell you on these. Here's what's going on. A number of years ago, I had access to satellite data, had access to actually observe a lot of the features of hurricanes. That's all been taken away. And now you don't get the ability, the high-resolution satellite image of hurricanes, etc., is not available anymore. That's all been taken off the market, because they knew I would be able to look at them and tell if the storm was manipulated, etc. And so that data is not available anymore. All you can do is surmise that there's a reason why they want to destroy the populations in these very remote, poverty-stricken areas. Okay, so I talked about the Texas issue. The surge of coronavirus in five states just happens to be the two Dakotas, Iowa, Nebraska, Wyoming, are states that resisted wearing masks. They said they were not going to install any of the federal measures recommended by Fauci or the National Institute of Health. And magically, this past week, they all have a big surge in so-called surge in coronavirus test cases. And so isn't that magical? This is the old protection racket at work. Remember the old protection racket, the guy who's got a little store down in the Bronx in New York, little deli or something, and a couple guys walk in one day in suits, the boys, and they say, hey, Pop, things are getting rough around here. You're going to need some protection. We'll offer you some protection. Just pay us this amount of money this every week. We'll be here to collect. And the guy goes, Pop goes, well, never had any problems here. All the kids like me, been here for 50 years. you know, and we live upstairs. We've never had a problem. And so the boys come in that night and bust the place up. And the two guys in the, you know, come in the next day and go, gee, Pop, again, you know, if you'd have bought our protection, this wouldn't have happened. That's the old protection racket. You know, the mob moving in an area and taking over and demanding tithes from the local businesses. That's what's going on. So somebody is going into these states, and I call it fairy dust, sprinkling fairy dust around so the people get sick. That's what is going on. So isn't it magical that all of a sudden, in mid to late November, these five states, all of a sudden, all five of them at the same time have surges. And then they come to the governors going, look, you're having a surge in your state, and you said the people didn't have to wear masks. This is all your fault. And then some of the governors are buckling and saying, oh, well, I guess we got to, you know, we can't have Christmas, only a few people in a house. This is all planned. And when I put out my COVID paper in February, I said this is going to happen. Those states that can't comply or will not comply with the COVID program are going to have surges. And somebody's going to be in there sprinkling fairy dust around, causing them to have surges. That's exactly what's going on. It's the old protection racket. But the idea is that the Great Debt Reset Program is underway in the United States. They have isolated Congress. They've gotten all these congressmen aside, told them, look, buddy, this is the program. This is what's going to be happening. Don't go against the grain or you're going to be history. So all these congressmen, a bunch of little fairy dust fairies running around, you know, looking for their own well-being. That's what's going on. That's what's going on. So this is very important because we're in a critical time. Right now, they are recounting votes for the federal election and discovering the massive fraud that occurred in the 2020 election. So let me make it perfectly clear, and this is from a mathematical scientific analysis of the vote, that probably, well, just reviewing again, in 2016, Hillary Clinton, from my three methods of mathematical regression analysis, got about 17 million illegal votes and still lost. This time, Trump got about 40% more votes than he did in 2016. So the voting cheating level of for Biden must have been around 70 million votes. That's the level of cheating going on in this country right now. And this goes down to the local precinct, or to the local mayoral, city council, and then the state representatives, etc. And so the Democratic strongholds are nothing but more than Democratic cheating centers that have been in place for decades. So the people's vote literally has not counted. But my point is, many people are starting to come on board with the level of cheating. Not that some people go, oh, yeah, a little cheating goes on here and there. Sure, it goes. A little bit of cheating. No, it is massive. It is pervasive. And this time in the 2020 election, what they didn't do, what they did not do in 2016 for Hillary Clinton is they stuffed the ballot box in 10 places. And I enumerate those places in my study from 2016 and 2017 using the actual vote counts. But what they didn't do was they couldn't overcome the Electoral College. So now they had to move out farther into the smaller regions where the precincts, they had to cheat at the many more precinct levels. Instead of 10, they had to get into minor cities also. And so you see this. And another thing I noticed this time in my analysis of the 2020 voting is that if you look where there's high concentrations of government employees, especially federal government employees, they vote Democrat. Why? Because they're afraid their job's going to be cut. They're not voting because of what's best for America. They're just voting for their own paycheck. And so you can look in areas where there are large numbers of federal employees, like where there's state parks, there's a lot of federal land, state forest land, etc., concentrations like that. And you will see them as blue areas, but typically they're very low population count areas, so they don't contribute much to the overall election. And then Washington, D.C., which is all the people there make their money from the federal government, literally everybody in Washington, D.C. So that's why Washington, D.C. is a blue state and always will be, because it's like welfare. They are married to their paycheck, which comes from the federal government, which a big federal government is a characteristic of the Democratic Party. The Republican Party has always diminished the number of employees, and especially with Trump. So you'll find that Washington, D.C., and then across the river to the poor people that live in Virginia. I was just on Pastor Butch Powell's show two nights ago, and he was talking about getting attorneys to challenge the election in Virginia. But what happens there is you have Richmond, which is right across the river from D.C., and so that's like a bedroom community for all these people that live in Washington, that work in Washington, D.C. And so that is highly Democrat vote also, but it's a big population center, which carries the vote in Virginia. So all these people living out in the country in Virginia are Republicans. They're voting for Trump because they want their First, Second Amendment rights upheld. They want minimal federal government involvement in their lives, etc. But the people that work in D.C. that live in Virginia, they want federal government involvement in everything because it enhances their employment, their paycheck, their bottom line. So anyway, you see that this going on all over the country. But back to the massive amount of election fraud. It is pervasive, it is massive, and this time they had to probably run about 70 million illegal votes for Biden for him to even come near Trump's numbers. So anyway, and I'm not Republican, I'm not a partisan or anything like that, but the only person that has had the ability to challenge this whole system where the Democrats and the Republicans were like one big party, the only person that's been able to challenge that is Donald Trump. And so you might like him, you might not like him, but that's the case. And so that's why in a two-party system, once you get three or four or five parties, then, things don't work anymore. It's a two-party system is literally, there are very big advantages to that. You go to other countries where there's runoff elections and you have five or six parties, then it's so factioned that literally nothing gets done. And typically what happens in those places is one party prevails because the other party can't win, because you have the main party, which is the one that controls everything, and all the business and all the families that control that country are in one party. And then what they'd love to do, what they really love, is having four or five independent parties, and then the population vote is split amongst those other four or five parties. They never have the chance to compete against the one party that's always winning the elections. So in a two-party system where you have somebody like Trump that can actually mount an election to beat that machine in both the Republican and the Democratic parties, where Trump came and completely reformed the Republican Party to something that it was never like before. Like I say, it was always the Republican-Democratic Party, and they were one party. That's not like that anymore. So anyway, the issue is, what it really comes down to is massive voter cheating, and I think people are starting to wake up to that. I've had people say to me, oh yeah, there could be a little bit of cheating, but not enough to affect an election. No, it's pervasive, it's massive, it's to the point where in a real election, and I was asked this on a number of radio shows where I was guest, if the real count of the real vote, where they were not flipping hundreds of thousands of votes from Trump to Biden with machines, etc., and simply in the precinct level where they were changing the vote, what would the real vote be? I said it would be about 90% to 10% Trump over Biden, literally. Okay, so anyway, this is very important because the only thing standing between you in the United States right now and the great debt reset, which is going on in Canada, in the United Kingdom, in Germany, in Australia, in Europe, and in hundreds of other countries right now where they're locking down again. Certain states are locking down again. New Jersey, Minnesota just locked down again. These are blue states run by blue governors. And this is part of the great debt reset program. Those people are in office because of cheating. If you look at a state like Minnesota or Denver, Colorado, where you have Minneapolis and Minnesota, Denver and Colorado, Las Vegas and Nevada, and I could list off, other states like Arizona, where you have these Democratic cheating centers that carry the whole state. Minneapolis has half the state's population. The rest of the population lives in outstate. So if you look at the state, all of the state is red and Minneapolis is blue. So Minneapolis carries the entire state. Same thing in Illinois. Chicago carries the entire state of Illinois. Other states are exactly the same thing, where you have a major city, Philadelphia, in Pennsylvania, carries the entire state of Pennsylvania, where these people living out in the hinterlands or in the country or little towns are conservative, they're Christian, they're voting for Trump, and there's one population center where there's extensive cheating, and that's enough to carry the whole state. So the whole state is being carried by a couple cities. And then you look at, take a look at Canada, for example. You have the three eastern cities, Quebec, Montreal, Toronto, where the vast majority of population lives in Canada. And then you have one western city, Vancouver, and that's it. Other than that, there's a couple minor cities in central Canada, but other than that, the entire activity of the Parliament of Canada is managed from those three eastern cities. And they're not very big, but still they dominate Canada. And so all of the rest of the people in Canada don't have any say about what goes on, especially the states with resources like Saskatchewan and Alberta, British Columbia, etc. And so these states are being controlled by people that live 2,000 miles away. and that's what the United States was moving towards. The only thing that has held the United States back was the Electoral College. And that is because it's there to prevent a couple places from stuffing the ballot box. If you did not have the Electoral College, you massive cheating in LA, Chicago, and New York, they would carry the country every time. There would be no purpose in voting. And then the people in those cities that have investments in the stock market, et cetera, the vast majority of people out in the hinterlands don't have big stock investments. Sure, they got their 401ks maybe that have been devalued greatly because of the COVID thing, but majority of people don't have stock investments per se. They don't live according to the stock market. And then you have the people that live in New York that, want to own corporate farms out in the Midwest because, and run them like a corporate farm. Anyway, I want to get back to this idea of the great debt reset. This is extremely important because this is being implemented right now in these countries I talked about, England, Canada, Australia, Germany. There are big protests right now in Germany where they're using police to try and fend off the millions of the people in the street saying that they don't want any more COVID lockdowns. And Germany's government is trying to enforce this. This is what would be going on in the United States if it were not for a guy named Donald Trump, who has insisted that he's going to open up the country. Biden, when he was believing he was president-elect, which he's not anymore, he never was, really, never should have been declared by the news media to be president. That was a bogus news story, if there ever was one. He had already started to work with Democratic governors to shut those states down. His goal was to come back in and shut everything down again. That's the Great Debt Reset, and it goes glove in hand with the coronavirus pandemic. If you want to see a real futuristic prediction of what's going to happen, look at the trailer. It's called Songbird. Go online, look at the YouTube trailer. It's a couple minutes long. Songbird. That's what is coming. That's the plan. Gerald Celente, he's the has a magazine. I've been featured in that magazine called Futures, Gerald Celente. And he came out this past week and he said 16% of colleges require flu shots to teach or attend. And he said this is absolutely illegal. This is another reason for abandoning the U.S. educational system, and it's part of the atheist, communist, New World Order agenda. But he was very emphatic that he would not take shots or take vaccinations as a prerequisite to be part of some institution. And, of course, these institutions have no legal authority to require people to have medical treatments, and that's the issue. They might require you to wear shoes in class. They might require you to attend class. They might require you to do other things, but they can't require you to get a vaccination, a flu shot, to attend. And then, you know, that's the precursor to getting your that's the test. That's the first door to walk through. That's the door of initiation. And then the next thing you will have to take is the COVID-19 shot, which, you know, right now there's another company claiming they have 95% effective vaccine, and they're all excited about that. Well, like I said before, would you buy a car where the salesman told you that 95% of the time you would get to where you're going? The problem with this 95%, or last week there was one that said 90%, the problem is that if it has ill effects on people or if it doesn't work for somebody, they'll just go, oh, well, you're in that 5% over there. That leaves them the step out. It's like the hurricane prediction in the spring. You have the Hurricane Prediction Center at Colorado Springs or at Boulder, making the prediction of how many hurricanes there's going to be this year. And they go, well, there's a 50% chance that it'll be higher than last year. Well, that's like flipping a coin. That means they're right no matter what happens. 50%, yeah, there was some more. 50% less, they were right also. Doggone, they were right and no matter what happens. And so it's the same issue with these shots. When they go, it's 95% effective, well, if something happens to you, they're just going to say, well, you know, you over there, Joe or Sally, you know, you were in that other 5%. Too bad. You know, statistical odds were against you. You know, the luck of the draw, I don't know, whatever they would tell you. But anyway, this is all coming down the road, and so you have to be prepared. Right now in Canada, they are preparing to send the military door-to-door to force vaccinate people, and if they resist, they will be hauled off to an internment camp that have already been built. People in Parliament, and I've seen these videos, possibly you have seen them also, there was a man that stood up in Parliament, and he said, here's the acquisition document from Parliament to fund the building of these camps. And his question was very simple, internment camps. He said, will this be only for people who have medical issues like COVID? And they would not answer that. And they made him sit down and they refused to allow him to even ask the question. And so you have to understand, Parliament in Canada is completely controlled by the Queen-oriented, the New World Order, the same as in the United States. Canada is the Trudeau, and oh, geez, these people are so New World Order, they just are bought hook, line, and sinker. So Canada is a lost country, and I have predicted that someday the U.S. military, if the United States survives as a country, the U.S. military will have to go into Canada and open up these internment camps and release the prisoners. It's going to be like World War II Holocaust, and make no mistake, in World War II, the camps were filled with all kinds of people. These were the intelligent people of Europe. They, you know, the idea that this was strictly for Jews is completely incorrect. They were people from all walks of life. And I'm old enough to know my aunt was one of the first nurses into Auschwitz. These were filled with people from all walks of life, of all nationalities, of all religious backgrounds. These were the outspoken people of that time. These were the people who resisted Hitler. These were the people that were political enemies. These are the people who they took off the streets and put in internment camps. And some of them were still there by the end of the war. So at any rate, this is going on in Canada right now. I'm sorry, but like I said, there's going to be a time, if the United States is still here, if the people of this United States can prevail over the massive corruption that is being thrown at it from all angles, and we may have to go into Canada at some point, maybe have to go into Australia to free the people from these internment camps. I'm serious. And and if you don't watch it, it's going to be happening in the United States. It's on its road. And make no mistake about it, the next wave of events have already been planned. And I have been saying all along, now they're talking about pulling the electric grid as one of the steps. And it's not going to be because there's some kind of new sickness or illness or virus, COVID-23 or whatever. That's not going to be why they pull the electric grid. There's going to be something from outer space. And there's two major possibilities. One is a false flag solar flare. The reason a false flag solar flare is better is because it could affect the whole world. And so all you have to have is NASA coming out and saying, oh, there's this big solar flare, they could fake the footage. Maybe there would be a solar flare. The only problem they have is we're in a solar minimum right now. The sun is quiescent. Even over the last 20 years, since Hale-Bopp went away, the sun's energy level has been greatly diminished because Hale-Bopp sucked the energy out of the solar capacitor for that six-year period that it was in the solar system, visible to the naked eye, and it drained the solar capacitor, and it has not had time to build back up. So the concept that the sun is going to put out some kind of Harrington event, they keep trying to pump this in spaceweather.com and all the fake news media, the fake science news media. But that doesn't mean that NASA can't, with NOAA, you know. So first there's the NASA announcement of a massive solar flare, and then comes NOAA. Oh, this is affecting our weather, and then all of a sudden, boom, comes the grid. The reason the false flag solar flare event is better from their point of view is because it's worldwide. An asteroid colliding with Earth, which they can fake also, you know, this thing comes in, this bolide with a big, all they have to do is send in like a big bolide and then take footage of it, have the cameras right there at the time, come in and crashing someplace like Florida, just like the trailer movie of Greenland, that movie with the problem with an asteroid is not going to affect worldwide. They want this baby to be worldwide, so that's why this false flag solar flare is better. It's easier to fake. Nobody really knows about it. You, as a person, you don't really have equipment that would be able to, say, take pictures of it or anything like that. It's all behind the scenes, hocus pocus, you know, the Wizard of Oz pulling sticks, NASA and NOAA combining to do this. Okay, so anyway, that's my vote for what they're going to pull the power grid. But make no mistake about it, when they pull the power grid, it ain't going to come back. And they're going to have people waiting in line for food. Oh, yeah, this is what's coming, boys and girls. If this cannot be short-circuited, but see, what they're doing is they're getting all the states in line with the COVID. So if you have the COVID thing in a lockdown and the false flag solar flare event bringing down the power grid all at the same time, this is the level of event that's going to shut down the whole world big time. You're not going to be able to go get gas in your car because the electric pumps that pump the gas are not going to work. And the only people who are going to have any semblance of life as you know it will be people that have their own electrical energy from wind. Solar is not going to do it. I saw this coming 20 years ago. That's why I got into the business that I'm in now. The wind, the energy, the water filtration that takes out everything. That's another thing they're going to do is they're going to say, oh, the COVID is in the water. It's don't drink the water. I mean, these people are going to come at you from so many directions, it's going to make your head spin. And the only thing you're going to have is the mainstream media available. What they want to do, and, you know, Hillary Clinton wanted to do, was shut down radio stations like this radio station or the one you're listening to or the internet or web pages. They wanted to shut all that down so that they had control of it. And the only message you were going to get was their message. So this is where we're headed. The world is on the brink right now. All these other countries, Australia, Canada, UK, Germany, Europe, all these countries are shut down. You know, they're already well on their way to the great debt reset where they confiscate property. And nobody's going to tell you who gets to own all this property. Well, there's a few families. They already did it under Obama. They did the housing crisis where millions of Americans lost their homes and five families got it all. Yeah, five families of the New York banking families got all of that property. So if you know somebody or in your family, your parents, you know, whoever you know, lost their house in the housing crisis, that was planned, that was orchestrated. And all these people lost their property. Who got that? Huh? A couple families. Yeah, that's what's going on, boys and girls. Okay, so I've been asked to do a comment about the risk-limiting audits that were done on the voter counts in certain states. Now, these are allegedly statistical techniques to go, oh, you know, this, statistically, everything looked good. Well, statistically, everything does not look good. So a risk-limiting audit is a way for a state or that's trying to certify their vote to smooth it over and make it sound like, oh, the vote really didn't have any problems at all. Let me just say it this way. And the people also asked me to compare this to what I did, my mathematical regression analysis that was done in the 2016 election. Well, what I learned and what the people who were cheating learned in the 2016 election is you had to stuff the ballot box in more than 10 places. They stuffed it in Los Angeles, San Francisco Bay Area, Portland, Oregon, and I would count that in with Seattle, Washington as one location because it's locally the same. Denver, Colorado, Las Vegas, Nevada, Chicago, Illinois, Miami-Dade County, Minneapolis, Minnesota, Detroit, Michigan, and Washington, D.C. You don't have to stuff the ballot box there because it's all Democrat in the first place. Because all those people, like I explained, work for the government and get their paycheck, so they're going to vote Democrat because that's their paycheck. They're voting for their paycheck. But then the other cities like the larger northeastern cities like New York, etc. But anyway, there were 10 major cheating centers in the 2016 presidential election, which gave Hillary Clinton, she got 1.4 million illegal votes from Chicago alone, from the old daily Democratic voting, corrupt daily voting machine there in Chicago. They literally call it the political machine, because that's what it is. And but anyway, in the 2020 election, they had to move it out farther into the smaller precincts, and they had to have the vote cheating done on a wider scale. So statistically, it's harder to find, because what they've done is they've spread the cheating out. In 2016, it was patently obvious. You cross the street, it went from Trump 90, Hillary Clinton 10%. You cross the street and it flipped. Well, that's not the way the world works. You know, there were many different ways. For example, you would look at counties. Here's another technique I used in 2016 election. You take a look at the counties. Hillary Clinton won 35 counties out of 3,000. That's one out of every 100 counties she won. In those 35 counties, were 10 of these counties, like Los Angeles, etc., that had major votes. So when they said she won the popular vote, that's because they stuffed the ballot box in 10 places, giving her 17 million additional votes. In 2020, they spread that out into many more localities. And what they're doing now, the actual analysis they're doing now, the people who are fighting the for the Trump side of the equation, what they're doing now is they're realizing that many more people voted in these areas than there were voters. There were, like, 10% or 20% more votes cast than there were voters. And so that's where you see the big irregularities, and that does not show up statistically. You have to actually go in and check the records, the local voting records, the voter registration records, and the vote count. And what you see, and then, oddly enough, Biden gets 90% of that vote, of that extra vote, so to speak. And so that's where the cheating is. And you have to, statistically, it doesn't show up. If you just look at the numbers like you did in 2016, it was patently obvious. You could use statistics to look and locate those 10 cheating centers and determine the amount of cheating that went on. And also, you could see that it did not affect the Electoral College. Trump won the Electoral College by 100 Electoral College votes. It was like 100 different between Hillary Clinton and him. That's because stuffing the ballot box in a few places does not beat the Electoral College. So now they learned their lesson, and they realized they had to stuff the ballot box in more places, spread it out, and so statistically it's more difficult to locate those cheating centers. And the way it was done this time was like with the Dominion voting machines, where they actually just changed the vote in the machines. And so that was a way of making it look like when the people came into the voting booth, they voted for Biden when they really didn't. They were clipping votes. I mean, it was just plain and simple. So that's what's going on right now. And so they're going at the heart of the beast, which is the Dominion voting, the hammer vote transmission system, the counting of votes in a particular precinct versus the number of voters that were available to vote, finding that there were many more people that voted than were registered. That's where the effort is now. But going back to this idea of a risk audit, or what they're calling a risk-limited audit, is not valid. It's not valid for it. It's not going to expose cheating the way they were cheating. It's just going to say that, oh, everything looks good. It's a way of smoothing it over. So to answer your question, anybody who's using a risk-limited audit is trying to cover up the cheating that has to be looked at in detail at the precinct level. That's the simple answer. And the mathematical regression analysis methods that I used in 2016 cannot be used now because of the wider scale of fraud. because instead of 10 cheating centers, there are now hundreds, literally hundreds of cheating centers. And the methods used to cheat are much, much different this time in 2020. They use far more of the machine cheating, whereas in the 2016 election, they kind of limited that. The main cheating method in 2016 was mail-in voter fraud. Okay, another topic, very important, and I hope you've seen some of these videos. There's a panel in Germany of four people. As they're shutting down Germany again, there is a lawsuit that's beginning to move through the court systems. Basically, it involves color of law, in which they, number one, are calling into question, rightfully so, the PCR test that has been used to shut down. It's not a pandemic, it's a test-demic. In other words, the tests of positive cases of COVID are being used to shut down these countries and states, etc., and it's a bogus test. I said that in my February study on this whole issue. I said that test is not valid. It cannot be used the way they're using it. It's a laboratory test. It was never meant to diagnose a virus or a disease or anything else. It does not specify a particular disease, and so it's been completely misused and then exaggerated and misused for political reasons. And so the PCR test, what they're doing, though, this panel of four, one of them is a high-powered attorney. He has taken on Volkswagen auto industry. He's taken on Deutsche Bank and won big cases using international law. And these are cases that use international law because there are international law violations that go back to the Nuremberg trials. So anyway, they are putting together these massive lawsuits, and this is happening in a lot of places. They're trying to get the Michigan governor out of office. And there's in many other states they're trying to move forward and just get rid of the people that are in central positions that have misused their position. You see that Governor Newsom in California, the court have decided that none of his edicts during the COVID-19 thing, none of his edicts were lawful. They were completely, this called color of law, is to create a law and then disparage or damage the public, causing harm. And it turns out that this is the very interesting part of the use of color of law, which means the imitation of law, is that the person that does it is personally responsible and liable. So the people that are doing this, the Merkels and the Newsoms and the Cuomos and the, you know, on and on, these people are personally responsible for inflicting laws on people that are not laws, pretending that they have authority to do this when they don't. And there have been other cases too where governors have been told that the implementations of whatever they were doing were strictly illegal. It doesn't matter whether they had good intentions, bad intentions, or whatever. You cannot just create laws out of thin air and say, well, doggone, this is what we're going to do this week, and everybody has to march to that tune. The laws are created by the legislature, and that is those are groups that are elected by the people, not somebody like Tony Fauci or this BRICS lady, who are advisors from an agency that's part of the federal government, National Institute of Health, or the CDC, which is not even part of a government agency. It's a private company associated with patents and that are benefiting from the Corona-19 lockdown, etc. So these are going on. These are starting. And so the pendulum is starting to swing the other way. I also want to mention here that shortwave, if you don't have a shortwave radio, if you're listening to this show by some other means, either with my archive on my webpage or one of the other many ways this show re-airs after the main airing on Thursday evening, if you are listening to it by any means, by internet or any other means, understand that there might be a time soon when shortwave radio is going to be your only way to listen to this show. So be aware of this. Get yourself a shortwave radio. Look at the frequencies on which this show transmits Thursday evening. We're now in the wintertime frequency. My show changes frequencies from summer to wintertime because I'm right on that cusp of day and nighttime. And so in the wintertime, when it's dark, there are frequencies that work better. In the summertime, when it's light out, there are frequencies that work better. And so the point is that these are relatively low frequencies. If you get some cheap or poorly made shortwave radios, they won't include these lower frequency bands that my show airs on, which are, by the way, the better frequency bands. They're more powerful. But look at my webpage. There's a link at the top. It says radio show, and there's a sublink there that tells you how to listen. So you can find all of the different frequencies shortwave that this show airs on. So if things really go into lockdown, if we have, for example, if we have grid lockdowns, then this radio station, WWCR, will still be able to transmit potentially on a limited amount, but it might be your only method of listening. So what I'm telling you is, even if you're listening regularly by some other method, get a shortwave radio, know how to use it, know how to tune into this show, know how to tune in to other shows. There's a lot of great content. WWCR is the biggest shortwave station, of course. And I'm just going to mention here also, I mentioned this at the beginning of the show, I got an email from a person who was criticizing me for not having more science. And apparently, and I know in some of my previous shows here, I was talking a lot about the new things that I have for sale on my webpage. I'm not going to go into those again. You can listen to previous shows. The new multi-blade wind generator systems for small, you know, the new terracotta, the sale for Christmas time, the terracotta stoneware water filters that I have for sale. You get 5% off or 10% off if you buy two, or 15% off if you buy three. Go to my webpage. That's all there. You should spend some time. My webpage is really renovated. Every week I'm making new improvements. I have the diesel generators, etc. But I want to tell you something. I don't sell flashlights. I don't sell lots of stuff. I sell things that are really essential to your well-being in this time that we are critically in right now. So, if I spent time explaining to you my product line, a lot of it is new, and it would be new to you because it wasn't there a month ago. The diesel generators, the small wind turbines that are much less expensive, etc., that you can get on a short-term basis. My wing generators can take up to 90 days or longer, and they're very expensive. They're industrial-grade equipment meant for farms and ranches that have serious electrical needs. But you can get these smaller wind generators now for much less. So if I'm rambling on about this, let me explain something. This is stuff that you need. This is not an option, having clean water, energy, you know, my education program, etc., for people that are homeschooling their kids. These are not options. These are things that you critically need. And so in these times when we're dealing with the life, the future, the very essence of what we call the United States, for better or for worse, I'm telling you, we are in some critical times right now. These weeks, these days, right now, are going to form and shape the future. And if you're not prepared, you're going to be one of those people who get sucked up into the milieu and are not going to have any options except to go to the government and get your shot and get your food and get your stamps and get your card and get your, you know, you're going to be SOL, as they say. So when I talk about things on the air, it's because it's critical. This isn't just because I'm, trying to sell you something. I spend a lot of time putting these products together that are high quality and searching them out so that you, these, you know, I've done all the footwork for you. All you got to do now is turn to my webpage and get these amazingly good products. My water filters, there's nothing like it on the market that take out everything with no additional filters, free shipping. There's nothing like it out there. Nothing like it at all. So I would like to get back to talking about pure science, but also I want to reiterate that over my decades of putting out this radio show and my other work and my books and the education program, I guarantee you, and I guarantee the person that wrote in and tried to criticize me for not talking more about science, I guarantee you, you have not read, you have not listened to, you have not looked at all of my details that I have put out. And as I learned in college when I was studying physics, I didn't just look at the book one time or the textbook that I was learning physics from. I didn't just look at, or mathematics. I didn't just look at the book one time. I looked at it three times. Because the first time you learn just to get the kind of the gist of things. The second time you gain some understanding. The third time you start to getting an in-depth understanding. And I guarantee you, I don't think there's anybody on the planet who has gone to that level of searching out my material and studying it and really understanding it. It's really complicated. And what I present to you on this show and in my books, etc., is about 1/10 of what I'm doing in my own world. So during these times that are critical, please understand, I'm using my radio time to inform you about things that are critical to your existence. And, for example, if you know somebody that voted for Biden, hey, who did they really vote for? Biden ain't going to be there very long, maybe a month or two. Then you have Kamala Harris. Did they vote for Kamala Harris? What a, no, I don't think so. You know, what are these people really voting for? Because there's going to be a third party involved that we don't even know today, the mystery person. Instead of Biden, it's going to be some mystery person. So, you know, if somebody voted for Biden, they didn't vote for Biden. They don't even know who they voted for. And typically, they voted because they didn't like Trump. Well, Trump is a brash guy. Big deal. Whatever. He's a person that gets stuff done. And I've always said this. If there's somebody on a bargaining table, I want the biggest jerk asshole on the planet on my side of the bargaining table. If I have an attorney, if I have a bargainer, I want the toughest guy on my side of the table, not the other side of the table. Anyway, I'm running out of time here. Go to my webpage, jmccsci.com. Check it out. Brand new layout, brand new subpages. Click on the top row there, all of the different things are clickable. Go to the subpages, click around there. Once again, jmccsci.com. This is James McCanney. This is my Science Hour. And as always, we are at the crossroads. Good night.